In the mid-1990s, Jackson Stevens, who had become the chairman of Augusta National and the Masters in 1991, became worried that the club's membership would soon include no one who had personally known his old friend Clifford Roberts. Roberts had been the co-founder, with Bobby Jones, of both the club and the tournament. With encouragement from Barbara Spencer, the wife of one of the club's two head professionals who had taken a deep interest in the history of the club, Stevens had decided to hire someone to write a book about Roberts, which the club could then publish privately for its members. Stevens asked Jerry Tardy, the editor of Golf Digest, and Peter DeBriner, a British golf correspondent, whom he ought to hire, and they both suggested me. Stevens invited me to visit him in Little Rock so that he could check me out. I was a little concerned because I had played Augusta National on assignment from Golf Digest a year or two before. I had included that article in my book, My Usual Game, which had recently been published. In it, I had said that Augusta's elderly members, sitting around the clubhouse, had looked as though they were awaiting word of the outcome of the Civil War. But Stevens and I got along and we agreed on a fee. After we had, I told him that my main interest in taking on the project, money aside, was having an opportunity to play the course. He said that would be fine, I could play the course. I said that what I really would like would be to play the course a lot. And he said that would be fine too, I could play it as much as I liked while I worked on the book as his guest. That was the beginning of my favorite writing project of my whole career on any subject. I would visit Augusta for a week at a time, and while I was there, I would search through old file cabinets and interview members and employees and others, always with help from Barbara Spencer and from Catherine Murphy, who had been Clifford Roberts' tournament secretary. I stayed at the club, including in Clifford Roberts' old suite and in the Crow's Nest and in several of the cottages, and I ate dinner in the dining room with Stevens and his friends. I also played a lot of golf. When friends at home asked me how often I had got to play the course, I told them that one afternoon I had been playing with three of the club's assistants. Another assistant was about to get married, and we were all invited to an engagement party for him that afternoon in the golf shop. Partway through our round, we realized that we wouldn't make it to the party in time if we played all 18 holes. So we went directly from the 10th green to the 15th tee. In other words, we skipped Amen Corner, and none of us thought anything of it. That's how often I've played it, I told my friends. They were so annoyed that I realized I must never raise the topic again, and I mostly did keep it quiet, until 1998, when I played my favorite Augusta round ever, on the Sunday immediately before tournament week, the day before the first practice round. During that round, Lance Barrow, who was the producer of the CBS broadcast, and I played a match against Hootie Johnson, who had become the club's chairman a year later, and Warren Stevens, a son of Jack Stevens. It was the media versus the Green Jackets, and as we played Amen Corner, it looked as though the media were going to lose. But then I birdied 16, and then I birdied 17, and then I eagled 18. I was 4 under par on the last three holes, and Barrow and I won. I didn't see my approach shot go into the hole on 18, but Lee Jansen and Early Ells did. They had been playing a practice round just ahead of us and were standing by the green. They joined us for a celebratory beer in Jack Stevens' cottage, and the club made me a plaque with my golf ball mounted on it. As happy as that round made me, the writing project was even better. The club did not have a professional archivist in those days, it does now, and Barbara Spencer had taken the job on herself because she felt, as Stevens did, that the club was in danger of losing track of its own fascinating history. She and I found documents and letters and photographs and artifacts that no one at the club had known existed, and she helped me track down relatives of Clifford Roberts and Bobby Jones and other important figures from the club's past. Stevens' intention at the outset was that the book would be a small one for members only, but when I realized how much unknown material there was at the club, I told Stevens that the book ought to be published by a regular trade publisher and sold to the public, and that's what we ended up doing. No outsider had ever been given access to the club's files before, and no one had been allowed to talk as I was with employees and members, and no outsider has been given access since. I had extraordinary help and support from the club, but no one ever looked over my shoulder or told me that there was any topic I couldn't explore. My experience was, and always will be, unique, and I'm permanently grateful. Working on my book was like researching a doctoral dissertation on the history not just of the Masters, but of American golf. It was the most sustained fun I've ever had as a writer or as a golfer.